Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. There was an ongoing clash between Jesus and Lucifer operating behind the religious leadership. Yes, the Jewish leaders were very much agents of Satan. Instead of congratulating the God-man for walking on water and healing thousands of people, all they could focus on was complaining how the disciples of Jesus did not wash their hands before eating. The Kabbalists failed to discern the scriptures, and the Son of God rebuked them for their spiritual blindness. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And we're going to be talking today about scribes and Pharisees, agents of Satan. Before we get into the message, let's pray together here. Would you, in the chapel, if you want to stand with us and pray? My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now that you will be with me as I present this message, Lord. This took place 2,000 years ago. But the same demonic forces, it's the same devil, just different people. And I pray that we will learn something today, how to fight in the spirit world and be victorious. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We're going to start in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse number 44. And on the outline, I wrote this. I have no doubt that the high priest, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Herodians were part of Satan's network in opposing Jesus. The Son of God delivered a lengthy speech to the Pharisees in the Gospel of John, chapter 8. And then he said, their father is the devil. Let's read from John 8:44. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Can you imagine if the high priest and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and Herodians would have simply said, we accept Jesus as the Messiah? Can you imagine what would happen? That would have meant that the entire Jewish nation at that time would have accepted Christ, would have, Christ being Messiah, would have accepted Jesus as the Messiah, as Christ. They would have been a Christian nation. You take Apostle Paul, he was Jewish, Peter, James, and all the others, and they were powerful as they start traveling. Can you imagine if the Jews had accepted Christ as their Messiah? That would have changed the world situation. That would have changed the Roman Empire faster than it did. It would have meant that the gospel would have gone out in a different way much earlier than he did. Satan knew that, and he wanted to hang on to the Jews, and he did. And because of this, we have the problems that we have today. There are Jews that have been saved, Messianic Jews, and they love the Lord. But the majority of them do not. I found two writings that we have scanned in, and I'm going to release that. They were written by two rabbis. They were written probably about 30, 40, 50 years ago. And it simply is an instruction manual for Jews to know how to reject Christianity. There are two manuals on that. Now, Lucifer and his minions, they predate us. Angels were created, but once they were created, they will live forever. They have not existed forever. They are created beings. Just like we are created beings, the moment you are created, you have a beginning, but you never have an end. You will live either in heaven or in the lake of fire for eternity. But none of us will die spiritually. Our bodies will die, but not us. We will continue to live forever and ever. So, the devil and his fallen angels and demons have been loose on this earth since the day Lucifer successfully tempted Eve. It is not going to be until after the thousand-year kingdom that they will be terminated and cast into the lake of fire. And quickly turn to the book of Revelation. Chapter 20, and we read in verse number 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's their future. Now, they have lived on this earth for at least 6,000 years. So when you were born as a child, and then you become of age, 16, 17, 18 years of age and so on, you are a rookie. And you are coming up against demonic forces, demons, that have been around for 6,000 years, have possessed a lot of people. They can read our mind, they know our mindset, and they sweep people off. The majority of young people today would do fornication, adultery, they would drink, take drugs, smoke, they live in the world, and they don't know why they're doing that. They don't know that they have become possessed by demons that have been around a long time, and they know how to manipulate us. You and I can live on the earth maximum 120 years. Most people exit between 60 and 80. Some people go a bit longer. And I plan to have at least another 20 years run where I'll be able to put in what I want to put in, unless Jesus comes back first. So, this is who we are. This is the enemy. Demons are very sly. Not all people are going to be drinking, smoking, chasing, taking drugs. So the demon simply says, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get you very busy. And some people get caught up in a job situation, and they work one job or two jobs, and they buy a house, they buy a boat, they buy this, they buy that, and they are constantly working to get more money, to buy more stuff, to have better cars. And so the demon said, well, this is fine. Just keep going over there. You need another car. You need no more clothing. You need this. You need to work harder. And so there is no time for God. So the devil has a program for everybody. He will keep you busy, or he will keep you stupid and drugged, smoking, chasing, and so on. It's a program for everyone from Satan's kingdom. So we got to learn to be smart and say we're not buying into that. So I wrote this here. Lucifer also had a time in which to operate in comparison to Jesus. Jesus had 33 years on this earth. Of those 33 years, 3.5 in the ministry. Okay, let me get your attention right now. Satan, the fallen angels, and the demons have been working on the earth for 6,000 years. Jesus came down and worked for 3.5 years. That was it. Do you understand now? Things are stacked against us. Because Jesus was God. He is God. He was able to establish a church. He was able to pay for the sins of the human race. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we had the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and the church took off. But if you look at the church history, the Christian church has always been persecuted. We have always had resistance. And we never really have taken off. There's been a number of revivals, awakenings, but they didn't last. So understand this. If this is a business world, the church has failed. We have not been successful. And the reason is that the demons divide us. They have us to fight one another, different denominations. They put in false doctrine. They get us busy. I can't go to church. There's all kind of distractions. So really, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is struggling, has struggled, and we are struggling. Now, the Mormons are prospering greatly. They are it's a very rich church. Jehovah's Witnesses are prospering. The Roman Catholic Church is prospering. The Buddhists are prospering. The Muslims are prospering. Because their Lord is Satan. He prospers them. But he fights us. Now, let's go back to Matthew 15:1. That's Matthew 15:1. So Jesus now has come back and from healing. He's walking on water, healing thousands of people. And guess who he met when he came back? Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do you disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. If you want to write this in your Bible, the tradition of the elders is known as the Talmud. T-A-L-U-M-D. Talmud. T-A-L-M-U-D. The Talmud. That's the tradition of the elders. Can you imagine this now? Jesus had walked on water. His disciples were excited. He had healed thousands of people. And he was coming back now to this area. And here come the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Instead of saying, we heard some great things about you. There are so many people that are dancing on the street because they got healed. This is really good. They didn't do that. They don't care about the people. They care about themselves. Some people say this is propaganda, but I don't think this is propaganda. But Hamas do not want the civilians to get away. They want them as shields. They shoot at their own people. The Pharisees, the scribes, did not really care about the people. They don't care about them. They care about themselves. There's a book that is translated to English. It's called the Judenstaat, the Jewish state. It was written about 1890 by Herschel. And he wrote that book and set up Zionism. The goal was to get back to Israel, to get the land back. In the book, he has a chapter. And he wrote this, and you can actually buy that book, or you can look it up online probably, where he simply said this: if we have to lose whole branches of Jews, so be it. That's not important. What's important is we take the land back. Jesus is the opposite. He cares for you and me. He cares for our well-being. He doesn't sacrifice us. He wants to bless us. So, going down now to verse number 3 and to 6. Big deal. You didn't wash your hands. When you go camping, a lot of times people don't wash their hands. Sometimes you don't have time to wash your hands. Of course, you should wash your hands. I wash my hands all the time. But, you know, it's important for hygiene. But it's not really a big deal. You don't go to hell for that. You might go to the hospital for it if you get germs. Jesus answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? He turned the table on them. He said, now why do you transgress? For God commanded, saying, honor your mother and your father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever you might be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made a commandment of God in effect by your tradition or by the Talmud. Well, we're going to get a little bit more information on this. So, flipping your Bible now to Mark chapter 7. That's the Gospel of Mark, and we go to chapter 7. Mark 7, and we're going to pick it up from verse number 8. Mark 7, 8. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. You hold the Talmud. Write in the word Talmud there. As the washing of pots and cups and many other such thing you do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition or the Talmud. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother. Whosoever curses father and mother, let him die to death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father and mother, it is korban. That is to say, a gift. But whatsoever you might be profited by me, he shall be free. What does that mean? Well, you have to go to a Bible dictionary to find out what a korban is. Korban is a name of a transaction that took place. Now, today, you have a lot of ministries and other groups. They simply said, since you're going to die one day, why don't you make your estate, why don't you make a will out and give to this church or this organization and so on, so when you die, it will go to us. And a lot of people make out wills, and they simply say, we want to give it to the children, we don't give it to them, you know, we're going to give it to an organization. So the rabbis needed more money. They wanted to have the synagogues looking nice. So they got a device saying this. Hey, folks, and at that time they didn't have any social security. So parents were supposed to take care of the children first, and then children took care of the parents when they got older. But the rabbi said, no, you don't have to do that. You can bypass your parents by simply signing a deed to your property. You sign a will, and you sign it over to the synagogue. And when you do that, you can use the money, your houses, and everything else, the business, as long as you live. And you can have a good time. But when you die, it goes to us. So a lot of Jews at that time said, well, I don't want to take care of dad or mom, you know. That's a drag. I want to spend my money on this and this and that. So they had a korban, where they didn't have to take care of mom and dad. Knowing that now, go back to Mark 7 here. And we read again verse 11. But you say, if a man shall say to his father and mother, it is korban, that is to say a gift, but whatsoever you might be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect for your traditions, which you have delivered, and many such things you do. The Jews have a lot of tradition today. When we had the October 7 event that took place, the massacre in Israel, I listened to a Jewish woman. She's probably about 25, 30 years old. And she was interviewed on television. And they said, when were you informed of the massacre? She said, I didn't know it until the day after the Sabbath. Now, the Jewish Sabbath is from 6 p.m. Friday to 6 p.m. Saturday. And Jews are not allowed to turn on a television. You cannot turn on a light switch on the Sabbath. So she said, I did listen to my phone, and I saw that, you know, there was a disaster happening, but I had to wait until the Sabbath was over to turn on a television to get the full story. Now, that's important. If you got a light switch now, and it's Sabbath, you cannot flip that on a Sabbath. So they simply have what they call Sabbath light. These are Sabbath light, and they are round, and they have a little cover on them, and you twist the cover, that's how you close it, cannot get light, and you twist it, and you get light coming out. Now, you can do that. That's allowed, but you can't flip a switch. So Jews are very controlled by their traditions. So, going back now to Matthew 15. And we read this here. I'm going to go back to verse number 7 now. You hypocrites. What does the word hypocrite mean? It means someone that is not true. So let's say, for example, I tell this church that we're going to fast from Monday night at 6 p.m. to Tuesday night at 6 p.m., which we do. Those of us that are part of the NIP do that. Not everybody, but some do. So I tell you this, not you. You're going to fast, man. And then I sit in my house, close the windows, and I eat my meal as regular. And then I come to prayer meeting Tuesday and saying, oh, man, I suffered. I fasted all day. I'm so hungry, but, you know, I'm so glad to suffer for Jesus. That's called a hypocrite. You understand that? You're hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah's prophecy was saying, these people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching with doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said to them, hear and understand. Not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. So the Pharisees there, they were offended. The Pope was offended this week. He was so offended that he fired one of his bishops in Texas. Because the bishop had a gall to say, Pope, you're not following the scriptures. Then came these disciples unto him, do you not know that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? You know, religious people will get offended. And they would do all kind of stuff to you. I've been accused of seeing a demon behind every rock over the years. I was so criticized that we had a deliverance ministry. Oh, you talk about our demons. Well, not necessarily true. But you always get criticized. So what did Jesus say? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. What are we going to do with these people? We had Harold Camping. We got Joseph Smith. He's gone now. And there's a lot of other people that are false teachers. Jesus said, leave them alone. I'm thinking here in Sacramento, we had a church, Capital Christian Center. Originally, it was called Bethel. And then they got bigger and they simply said, no, that's not a good name. We want to call it Capital Christian Center. So they built a multi-billion, not multi billion per month, $1 million plant on 25 acres or so on the next to the freeway. And they prospered. I mean, they got up to the 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people. It was the in church in Sacramento, Assembly of God Church, run by Freemasons. So, we had a pastor there, and Pastor Cole was a pastor for years, and then when he retired, his son Rick took over, and they were doing all kind of different things. While the church closed this year, they went bankrupt, and I saw in an advertisement from Rick Cole, he has now what they call a feeding ministry. It's a street ministry. And he said this, we were able to borrow the facilities of another little church to have our Thanksgiving get-together. He couldn't go back to the old one because somebody else took over that. That's a campus now for another church. And I thought about, I talked to that man 30 years ago about having demons cast out. And he said, no, I'm not going to go to you. He said, I put my life in God's hands, but not in your hands. And today, from a mega pastor, he's down feeding the poor, the homeless in Sacramento. Lead them alone. There be blind leaders that are blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both should fall in the ditch. Peter said, no, I need to understand this. I don't understand this. Then answered Peter and said unto them, declare unto us his parable. And Jesus said, are you also yet without understanding? Do you not understand that whatsoever enters into the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into the draught or into the toilet? But those things which proceeds out of the mouth come forth from the heart and they defile the man. But in other words, if you don't wash your hands, and if you eat something, you know, that you shouldn't eat, it doesn't defile you. It's just going to make you sick. It's going to make you go to heaven earlier. But the things which you speak. Now, when he says heart here, he's not talking about the pump. He's talking about the soul. But those things which proceeds out of the soul come forth, come out of the mouth, come forth from the soul, and they defile the man. For out of the soul proceeds evil thought, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defiles not a man. So, if we summarize this now, people have been captured by the devil. I'm back on the outline now. And possessed with demons, do not have the capacity to see and understanding the works of God. So, when you talk to people that are not saved, they don't understand. Even people that are saved, people are still demonized. I would say this, that most Christians have demons. And this was argued over the years. But that's the way it is. Just because you got saved does not mean that all demons are taken out. You have to cast them out. Just because you got saved does not mean that you are healed. You got to ask for healing. You got to pray for it. So the religious and political leadership of Judah and Galilee were under the spell of the Kabbalistic teaching and its false Messiah. They sought a Jewish man anointed by God with supernatural powers who would cast out the Romans and reestablish the golden age of Israel. And they still do. The conflict in Israel today is between the Jews who are trying to bring in their Messiah, a man anointed by God. Let's turn into the last scripture here, which is for the book of Acts. So we go to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Book of Acts, chapter 1. And we pick it up in verse number 4 here. And being assembled together with them, that's Jesus now, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence, or not very short time. Now, that's what he told them. Here's what the apostles wanted to know. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They were not interested in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They wanted a kingdom of Israel restored. And Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So what do I want you to take home here today is simply this. We are today seeing the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes are back in power in Israel. They control Judaism today. And right now, they are fighting to bring in their Messiah. And the Arabs, the Muslims, don't like it. They want to wipe them out. So we have two groups here. We got the Jews. We got the Muslims. The Jews are controlled by the devil. The Muslims controlled by the devil. He clashes them back and forth like this to clean things up because he wants the temple in Jerusalem to be gone. And then they will bring in his Messiah. To get that, they had to have a catastrophic world war that would simply wipe out China and Russia and us. And when it over, it was over. And the smoke is rising as we have radiation all over the place, millions of people dead. Satan is going to have a man standing up and saying, I'm the man. Here's a solution. We must get rid of nations. We can't have it. We have to have a world federation. If we have one world government, there'll be no more wars, peace, prosperity. And the people surviving that war would simply say, yes, go for it. And that is how the Antichrist would come in. Today we learned that the scribes of the Pharisees, the leadership, didn't want Jesus. It's the same today. So the question is this, what do we do? There's so many different belief systems. The Pentecostals believe this. Methodists believe this. The Baptists believe that. Everybody today is waiting for the rapture. It's pushed. What do you think will happen when there's no rapture? What are you going to tell our preachers? So this is the time for you and me to simply look down in the Bible and say, God, I don't want to be led astray. Show me the truth. Let me walk in truth. And that is how we survive. So when somebody said you can't do this or that because if you do that, you defile yourself. Well, we shouldn't do fornication and adultery and so on. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile you. And the main thing is for us to love the Lord with all our heart, mind, and soul, and to work for Him. So you listen to me, you're not saved. And you says, how can I become a Christian? It's very simple. You know you're a sinner. So just admit that. Say, God, I'm a sinner. God, I believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe He died on the cross for me. He rose on the third day and He paid for my sins. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Come on in, Jesus, and save me. And He will. That's how you got saved. When we finish here, the screen will change where you're watching. Three crosses will come up, and the voice of Pastor Charles will come up. And he will tell you this, my friend. And then he would take 10 minutes with you to make sure that you know how to get saved and that you did get saved. If you do that today, contact us via our website. I'd like to rejoice with you. Pray with you. And to those of you that are walking with the Lord, I had an NIP today, which was heavy. I got this one here. Can you take time this afternoon? Instead of rushing out and doing this or that, can you take time and just take 1 hour? Go inside a room someplace and close the door and say, God, how am I doing? I love you, Lord. I'm a Christian. But am I doing what you really want me to do? Or am I just busy? And every day goes, and someday I'm going to die. Ask God that. And then, if the Lord shows you that you are not where you should be, change. Ask Him to help you to change. And He will. God bless you, Soteros.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Search me, Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. There will be no wicked way in me. And lead me into life everlasting. That's what we need to ask the Lord all the time. And I agree with the pastor. Every word that he said. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, to be people of prayer. To seek the Lord while He may be found. To call upon Him while He's near. Hallelujah. And ask Him, Lord, what will You have me to do? And we want to thank You and praise You, Heavenly Father. And we'll get the answer, Lord, of what You want us to do, Lord. Thank You, Father, for leading us and guiding us and directing us, O Lord, that Your will be done, O Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus. Yeah, let us become people of prayer. Oh, thank you, Heavenly Father. Pray without ceasing, giving thanks for all things, for that's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. And we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for a good message that you brought us today, O Lord. Oh, thank you, Heavenly Father, that it would have been in quite a different state if the Pharisees accepted, like the pastor said, accepted Christ as their Messiah at that time. But there was such a competition, it was a threat to them. Jesus Christ was a threat to them. They were seeing the fruits that he brought, but they didn't believe it. They didn't want to believe it. And we want to thank you, praise you, Heavenly Father, for leading us and guiding us. And we pray in the name of Jesus that you will, O Lord, show us a heart, line it up with the Word of God. We pray in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Father, for all the work that you have for us. We want to see people be saved and his name be glorified. We are each and every one of us, everyone that watching us today, we pray in the name of Jesus, put in their heart, O Lord, to reach out to the lost. So, Lord, to snatch them out of the snare of the devil that they taken captive by him at the devil's will. And we want to thank you, praise you, Heavenly Father, for victory, for a glorious day today, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking his commandments. That's why he said we've all sinned and fallen short of his standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 39th part in the series, The Gospel of Matthew, and was entitled, Agents of Satan. There was an ongoing clash between Jesus and the religious leadership. The Jewish leaders were in reality agents of Satan. Instead of congratulating the God-man for walking on water and healing thousands of people, their focus was on the disciples of Jesus not washing their hands before eating. The Son of God rebuked them and instructed the common people not to follow the spiritually blind. People who have been captured by the devil and possessed with demons cannot see and understand the works of God. The Kabbalists didn't care what miracles Jesus performed because he didn't fit the mold of what they thought the Messiah should be. All that mattered was the restoration of Israel to the way it was in the days of King Solomon. Even the apostles were affected by this dissimulation, and it showed on the day Jesus ascended to heaven. Christians need to exercise discernment when it comes to political and church leaders. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1937. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, May God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.